are such a privileged people, Lord, to know that you are here, that you've come down with a shout. And Father, that as the world would say, all things continue, since where is the promise of his coming? But yet, Lord, we know that you are here, and that you have not come in vain, for you do nothing in vain. And your thoughts are not our thoughts, but you've come to give us your thoughts. You give us your doxa, your understanding, and to give us the attitude which was in Christ. And so, Father, we pray for that attitude to be in us. And, Lord, we just pray that you would glorify us even as you glorified your Son. And we pray that that glory would not only be in our mind, but it would take a hold of every fiber of our body, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning, I'd like to continue with our study in the book of Romans. And our study has been for the last three, four messages has been on the attitude of Christ. This is number three in our series, but we actually had one that preempted that, which was just on attitude. But this will be number three in the series, and or mini-series. And this morning I want to focus our attention to point number three of the 5 points concerning the attitude of Christ. We began last Sunday examining point number one, where Brother Branham said that the right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. And we first went into the definition then of attitude, because if the right mental attitude will bring to pass, well, then what is an attitude? Because we certainly want to have an attitude, and then we want to have the right attitude. And so we went into the definition of an attitude, and we found that an attitude is not just a mental thing, but rather the body's response to what is taking place in the soul. From awakening Jesus, Brother Brown said, that's true. See, the mental attitude you take towards it will bring. Now, the mind won't do it. So, see, it's not a mental thing. He says, now the mind won't do it, but if you give that attitude towards something that's got life in it, then that life comes down, and that life is what does it. Not your mental attitude. That only brings you into His presence, the presence of Him. That's what you do, your mind. The five senses is all right as long as they don't deny God. But when they go to denying God, then you leave them alone. God controls them. Therefore, we find Webster, the Webster's New World Dictionary defined attitude as aptness or inclination, and further states, and we found that both of these words refer to the direction in which a person is leaning. Notice he's apt to do something. It means what, you know, he's leaning in that direction. And notice also where it says, the word inclination comes from the root word incline, which means, you know, they're inclined to do so. And so the reason we say that is because the word apt means having a natural tendency. Therefore, to incline or aptness refers to the natural inclination of the person. Thus, the attitude is the expression of the natural inclination. Now, Webster also defined attitude as the position or posture assumed by the body in connection with an action, a feeling, or a mood. And also, he said, it's a manner of acting, feeling, or thinking that shows one's disposition or opinion. Therefore, every definition we have read of the word attitude has to do with displaying outwardly what is taking place inwardly. Thus, the seed that is in the mind becomes flesh. All right? The seed, which is the word, becoming flesh in you. Now, we brought to your attention in our first sermon in this miniseries that there are 5 points which we wish to examine concerning an attitude, especially the attitude of Christians concerning the Word of God. Number one, we examined what an attitude is. So, number one, we have, what is an attitude, okay? Attitude. Number two, what is the right attitude? Okay? And, well, we found an attitude that there is only one right attitude, and that is what God thinks about it and His actions toward the object of the attitude. We found that Jesus Christ came to earth to display to the world God's attitude towards the world, God's attitude toward the sinner, and God's attitude toward His own seed. Last night we examined the second point that we should understand concerning our attitude, and especially our attitude towards God's Word, and we found that the right mental attitude will produce what it's meant to produce. So, we have what is the right attitude, then we have the right attitude will produce. So, it's the attitude that actually brings the result. It's the attitude that produces. You see? We found that the right mental attitude will produce what is meant to produce. We examined the Scriptures and took a handful of people in the Scriptures and examined their reaction to the Word of God. Their reaction to the promises of God was their attitude towards God and His Word, for He is the Word. We showed by many infallible scripture proofs that the right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. From I Am the Resurrection and the Life, Brother Bram said, it's your attitude towards it. Your attitude towards God's divine gift will get you just what you ask for. Do you understand? Oh, how I'd like to stop right here, Brother Bose, and punch that for about a half hour, but I can't do it. It's your attitude. God can send a gift, and no matter what you do, it depends on what attitude you take towards it. Look at them who smote his face and spit on him and everything. There was no virtue there. But a woman that believed the word touched the hem of his garment, and she was healed. Is that right? All right? It depends on what you think about it. God sends it. It's your attitude towards any divine gift determines what you get out of it. And last night we examined Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abel did this. By faith, Noah did this. By faith, Abraham did this. And we found that their attitude, the way that they approached the Word, is what they received from it. You see? So it's the way that we approach. It's our attitude. It's the way that that this body displays what's going on in our soul. You see? And we read many examples of men and women who displayed the right mental attitude towards God's Word. And we saw how that they received the thing that God promised them. And that brings us to point number 3, or actually this will be number 4. We must know why we must have the right mental attitude. So, number 4, why must we have the right attitude? Okay, why? Well, we have already shown that it produces the right attitude towards something will produce. You see? But that's what we want to talk about today. Now, we must know why we must have the right mental attitude. You know, I'm really excited about this series. God just has really opened up something for us to understand here, because we've been focusing on for years, you know, having the right understanding, having the right doctrine, having the doxa, which is the mind of God. But like James said, you know, faith without works is dead. And we can have all the passive faith we want, but if that passive faith never quickens, never generates, if it never takes a hold of your body, what good is it going to do you? You go right to the grave like everybody else. You see? So it's got to produce. Notice, Enoch walked with God and he had this attitude. He was pleasing to God. And that's his testimony. He was pleasing to God. And he walked with God. And he went up. Abraham walked with God and he had this. God said this about him. He said that his attitude was righteous. It was rightly wise. And so he walked where God told him to walk. Now we've got two instances, one raptured and one the father of our faith who was seen in the city at the first resurrection. So he was resurrected and they both walked in the light as they were in the light. You see? And we have the same opportunity to walk in the light, to walk with God, to be pleasing to God. So it comes down to our attitude. How are we reflecting what we believe? Like Brother Branson, well, you know, if you say I believe it, but you don't stand on that, what good is it going to do you? You lay in your bed and, no, I'm not sick. I don't claim it. You know, Brother Bose said you've got to claim it first in order to reject it. You've got to acknowledge that you've got it in order to get healing for it. If you deny that you've got it, you say, well, don't accept it. I'm not accepting it, but I know what the devil's done to me. And I know what's coming back on him. You see? So, you know, don't play the little mind games where you say, well, I'm not going to accept it, you know. That's faith. I'm not going to accept it, you know. No. You've got to acknowledge, yeah, he put this on me. But God, by your blood and the stripes of your Son on Calvary, it's no match. This thing's no match for that blood. You see? So it's the attitude you take. Look at that little woman who carried that baby like a football. And she was up and over. She went under the legs of the ushers and over the... And Brother Branson, there's about 150 ushers there. And they couldn't keep the one little woman back. You know, I'm sure that everybody would like to have a fullback like that. You got 150 people on your back and you make it all the way into the end zone. This woman packed her little dead baby. She went up and over. She went under. She went around. She went through. She had to get up there because she knew... If that man who had been blind all these years was healed, then God could certainly raise her baby again. God honored her faith, not the baby's faith. The baby didn't have any. So you see how your attitude can influence others. How the attitude you have can affect others around you. Hallelujah. What about the Shunammite woman? Same situation. If she had an attitude that said, "Oh, you know what, Elijah? What kind of a God do you got anyway? I mean, I had prayed for a baby and he gave me the baby, but now look, he takes the baby. What kind of a God are you serving?" No, she said, "I know that the one who gave him can also bring him back." She had even tried putting the baby in his bed. So when he got there, he said, "Just take my staff." She said, "You know, that's not going to work. I want you to go to God." He got desperate himself. And her attitude, look at the attitude she had on the effect of Elijah. Now, come on. We have stories about Elijah and the rain and, you know, the thunder and the lightning coming down and killing the soldiers and all those things. But raising the dead? If it hadn't been for that woman's attitude, that story wouldn't have been in the Bible. So look at the effect that her attitude had on Elijah. It built his faith. Hallelujah. And it built the faith of the men who threw the bones of the dead man on the bones of Elijah. Elisha, who had received the anointing from Elijah. And they had enough faith, they threw the dead man on Elisha's bones, and that man came scrambling up right out of that grave. Hallelujah. Look at the effect, the trickle-down, that our attitudes can have. Attitude is a wonderful thing. Attitude isn't a mental thing, as we read. Brother Brown says it's not a mental thing. Attitude is what you do with your body. It's the body language. It's the tone of your voice. It's the way you respond. It's the way that you use your eyes, that you look at someone. You can look at a person's eyes, they might look scolding, they might look cold. You can look at a person's eyes, they might look warm and endearing. Brother Ram said when he saw Christ out in the field when he was a young man, he's praying. You remember that story? He was out in the field praying, and he said, "I looked in his face," he said, "looked just with great compassion and love and caring, and yet he looked like he could, if he wished, he could destroy the world. He had so much power, and yet care and love." You see how your face emanates. Your face radiates. A picture paints 1,000 words. You see? And the picture you give with your body, which is a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. He said, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind." And so our transformation comes from the mind first, and it moves into the body. And if we've got what we call a transformation, because we say, "Well, bless God, I believe the doctrine," and your body is not reflecting that you have the reverence and the love and the awe and the inspiration from God, then do you really believe it, or are you just parroting? You see? Therefore, we must know why that we must have the right mental attitude. Now, there are several reasons why we must display the right attitude towards God and towards God's words. Number one, our attitude will produce a result. So here we go. Our attitude will produce a result. Number two, these are the whys. Why we should have a right attitude. Number two, our attitude does not create an atmosphere. No, but rather it expresses the atmosphere in which we are already living. You see, it's not creating the atmosphere, but it is the expression of the atmosphere you are living. Alright? It is the expression of the nature of your soul, and thus it creates an atmosphere around you of who you are. You are identified with the attitude you express. So therefore, we have it's an expression. It expresses who you are. And then, from there, it creates around you the atmosphere which is within you. Alright? Brother Brandon said, you know, there's some people you love to be around. Just a joy to be around. Other people, you know, you don't like to be around because they're just negative. You see, you create that atmosphere around you. And that atmosphere, look, that atmosphere isn't something that you said, "Oh, I've got my little wand. Hocus pocus, I've got an atmosphere." You know, we're not
Harry Potter's, okay? The atmosphere is a result of your attitude. It's that simple. That simple. Yeah, people don't want to be around you? Change your attitude. Attitude. Okay. Anyway, so we're talking about an attitude. It's an expression. It's the way that you're perceived. And God looks on your attitude the same way that you and I look on each other's attitude. And He says, what are they expressing to me? What are they expressing to others? You might say, well, you know, I pray for everybody, love everybody, but if your attitude doesn't show it, if the expression, the body posture, the tone of your voice, you turn and walk the other direction. You know, if you do little things, little signs we call them, in the body language, that show that you're really not interested, then it shows. Then you can say all you want to, like Brother Branham said, you can talk all you want to do. You can say you believe it all you want, but is your life reflecting it? Okay? Now, and what then? We are judged by our attitude. You're not judged by what you know. You're judged by what you do with what you know. God will judge you for your attitude toward His Word. You say, now how is that? Well, you ever understand there's sowing and reaping? He said, if you would just believe My Word, hearken diligently to My Word, you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed when you come in the door, blessed when you go out the door, blessed in the field, blessed in the marketplace, blessed in your jobs, blessed in the fruit of your womb. You'll be blessed financially. You'll be the head, you won't be the tail. But if your attitude is that you won't hearken diligently to My Word, you'll be cursed. You'll be cursed coming in, cursed going out, cursed in the job, cursed in the field, cursed in finances. Everything that you're blessed in, you'd be cursed in. And what is that? It's the attitude. It's the expression. It's the way we handle ourselves. The way our bodies express ourselves. And not only will God judge us, but you're being judged daily. You work with people. Some of you, there's been people you work with and they just got an attitude all the time. The only thing that makes them happy is Friday night. Saturday, they live for the weekend. And so they come in and they just grump around and they carry this cloud over their head. You don't even have to talk to them and you can see the attitude. You can see the display. Right? So what do you do? Your judgment says, well, stay away from that person. They're being judged by their attitude daily. They're being judged now. And that's why He said, judge now, lest ye be judged. He said, judge not, lest ye be judged. But He also said, we're now standing before the judgment seat. He said, if you judge yourself now, you won't go through the condemnation. You will go through the judgment. Why? Because when you judge yourself, you look at yourself, your actions. You look at the way you responded to somebody. You look at the way you treat one another. And you say, God, is that Your Spirit doing that? Or is that just, why am I that way? And so you start to line yourself up with the attitude of Christ. Let this attitude which was in Christ be in you. You see? And brings us to number four. Thus your attitude will not only affect your own self, but it affects those around you. So there is an effect. The attitude carries an effect. It affects people. Affects and effects. Alright? From proving His Word, Brother Branham said, but before we pray for the sick, we've got to get the people in that attitude. It's the attitude that always brings the results. Notice, it's not the praying of the sick. You know, if Brother Branson, you don't even have to pray for the sick. The Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall be healed. I told this to Christine L. I mentioned it to Helena. You have a ministry. Your ministry is to help the sick. Did you know that you don't even have to pray for them? According to Mark 16, you can lay hands on the sick. It's your attitude that you go to God with. You can say, God, I know that if I stand here and pray that it'll come against some type of rules in the thing. So what I'm going to do is when I'm working on this person, I'm going to lay hands on this person when I'm working with them. And by my touch, I believe your word says that they will be healed. And they will be. Because it's your touch. It's your doing what he said. You see? So, therefore, your ministry, you can take it to the next degree. And say, God, I know that I have a gift for healing because you've trained me up that way. It's been in my heart to help people, to work with people, to heal them. And I know that you are the healer, but I know that you use people. And therefore, when I work on them, I'll just lay my hand on them. You know, God, I know what's going on. And they will know when they're healed. You see? And so, Brother Ransom, it's the attitude that always brings a result. It's the attitude that you take towards God. Here's a woman touched his garment. She was healed with a blood issue. Brother Ransom, that woman for months and months bled. She reached out to God. And God stopped the bleeding. Jesus didn't know what was going on. He said, "Who touched me?" It wasn't her saying, I'm going to conjure up faith. I'm going to conjure up faith. I'm going to receive it. No, she did something. Her body expressed what was in her soul. If I can just touch him. The little woman with the baby packed in her arm. If I can just get to that man. I know God will heal me. The Shunammite woman said, if I can just reach Elijah and get him to come, I know God will hear his prayer. And they all registered in their body an outward expression in the body, which was the Word of God made manifest in them. And that little Shunammite woman, her attitude changed Elijah. And it brought faith upon him to go to God for this woman. Look at the effect that it has. Now, Brother Brown continues. It's the attitude that brings the results. It's the attitude that you take towards God. Here a woman touched his garment. She was healed with an issue. A soldier spit in his face and put a crown of thorns on his head and felt no virtue. One felt virtue, God virtue. The other felt nothing. It's your approach. The attitude is what it takes. And that's what it is tonight, dear friends. It takes the attitude. We are and believe that we are in the presence of Jesus Christ, but it's your attitude that brings the results. The mechanics is here, and so is the dynamics. If you can just get started, God will do the rest. Now, you might ask, why must we have a right attitude? But remember, it is the attitude that brings the results. If you do not come with the right attitude, you will never get anything from God except a rebuke and hardship. And that is the way it is with anyone in life. You all know that raising children, that is the one thing that you teach your children, is to have the right attitude towards others and to have respect for mom and dad and respect for authority. And that is the way it is with God. The old moral says you can get more bees with honey than you can with vinegar. And the moral, and a moral is a point in a story that that is there to illustrate a truism. The truism that honey will get you more bees than vinegar. Therefore, the way that you approach it will bring the result. You see? Now, there's no one that I know that would rather have people treat them like dirt than with respect. Show respect and you get respect back in return. Show contempt and you receive contempt in return. You reap what you sow. Look, if someone is in need and they politely ask, I usually do what I can to help them. And I know you do the same. But as soon as they get uppity and they start to demand, that is when I just close up and won't help them anymore. I have experienced that in the mission field. There are some pastors overseas that we really enjoyed helping. But when some of them got uppity and started demanding that we help them and that we owed it to them, it just shut down the compassion that I had for them. And it shut down the compassion that others that were helping me to help them had for them. And it left me feeling empty of compassion for them. And with no more compassion for them, why should I bust by myself and work three jobs to feed my family so that they don't have to work? Right? And so the compassion leaves. What happens? The cup empties. The cup of blessings for those people. Now, that's not everyone. But just a handful of men can ruin it for the rest. Brother Hans said, from when love is, divine love is projected, he said, then when you become a son or daughter of God, your disposition changes, your attitude changes, and your outlook towards life and towards others changes. It doesn't mean that you just have joined church. It means that you have been regenerated. You have become a new creation in Christ Jesus. That you have, the old things have passed away, and God has spoken to you, and you have become a new creature. Now, I want this to go down into the church members. Then as you love to be in the presence of Christ, and you become a part of Christ, then people love to become in your presence because you become a part of God, sons and daughters of God. Now, did you ever see people that you just love to be in their presence? There's just something about them that just radiates, that you love to talk to them. And other people who are nice people, and yet you don't, and yet we don't say this unkindly, but you can hardly stand to be around them. It is because of the atmosphere that you create. For you as a son of God are miniature creators because you are a part of God. And that's the reason you can believe the Bible for anything it says. The Word is God's Word. You being a part of God will agree with the Word. And so what happens is, and what happened, just, look, this is just a natural coincidence. Not a coincidence, it's just absolutely the way it works. Is that as you create that atmosphere around you, it affects other people. A handful of ministers in overseas did something which was very uppity and got kind of, you know, in got their minds, got they showed they had an attitude that they expected. And when they did that, the compassion left me, the compassion left Brother Vail. The compassion left John McRae. And so the funds stopped coming in. And those funds were not only helping others, it was not only helping those few, but it was helping many, many, many. But when the funds dried up, everybody was affected. Everybody in Africa has been affected, in Central Africa has been affected by two men. Or just a handful of people. And so look at how Achan, his attitude and his disdain for the Word of God affected the entire camp of Israel. Achan's wedge, remember that. And how one man's attitude towards God, he went and thrust the spear through the belly of the man and the woman that were fornicating. And how that turned off the curse. So one man brought on the curse, one man turned off the curse. One man, Adam, allowed, and one man, Jesus Christ, brought blessings. One man, the serpent, brought on the curse through the woman, and one man, Jesus Christ, took it off. One person in this church can affect the entire church. You can affect your family. You can affect your life. And the power is in your hands. That's tremendous. When you think about that, it's tremendous. If I can just have a right attitude, instead of getting grouchy about something, if I'm not feeling good, whatever, if I would just pray more and say, Lord Jesus, what's my little affliction compared to the affliction you took, the abuse you took for me? And yet I was still a sinner. And before I even became born again, you loved me. 2,000 years before I came to this world in sin, born in sin, shaped iniquity, come forth the world speaking lies, your Son died for me. And in this hour, you came down and you beat the Pope out of a man of God called William Branham so that he would surrender himself. And through his surrender, it's affected me. That one man's surrender to God has affected many, many sons of God. Had it not been for Joseph's brother, one of the 12, or one of the 11, had it not been for Joseph, one of his brothers, Joseph would have been killed. But he said, no, don't do it. And so what do? They sold him off. They sold him off. And by selling him off, it saved the world. The attitude we take. Next week we're going to get into that. I'm going to show you where Brother Branham said the attitude you take toward a person can determine their eternal destination. Not their attitude, your attitude toward them. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to see anybody burn in hell. I don't want to see anybody go through the torment. So I need to change my attitude toward the sinner, toward the ungodly. Show more love. Show more love. Not just have it. Show it. What kind of love is it? You say, well, I love my wife. Yeah, I told her back when we got married. I told her if I ever changed my mind, let her know. Is that love? Show it. When the man wanted to cast out devils out of his wife, Brother Branham said what? Give her flowers. Give her chocolate. What is that? It shows your attitude's changed. From when divine love is projected, he said, then when you become a son or daughter of God, your disposition changed, your attitude changed, and your whole outlook in life has been changed. Now, God was not too pleased with those brothers in Africa when I pulled back. He saw how it hurt me. And so then God pulled back. And the funds which were coming in from the outside stopped. And the well which was He promised to bless, and He said that it would overflow, stopped flowing. Now it was incredible how things were happening. Incredible. But just as fast as it came, it went away because of an attitude. So the attitude of two ministers affected hundreds of ministers. And I've had brothers write over the years, and I never caught it until today or last night in my study. These brothers were writing and said, don't let the attitude of these brothers affect the rest of us. And I never thought about it. Yeah, it was the attitude. The attitude of one or two people. How it can just change a nation. Look at Saddam Hussein. One insane man and the attitude he displayed and how it brought fear on a nation. Hitler. Stalin. Mao Zedong. The attitude of one man and how it destroyed nations. Brought deaths upon millions. And God, as I said, was not too pleased with them either. For when I pulled back, God also pulled back, and the funds we were receiving from the outside stopped coming in as well. It's like this thing those brothers did was like some big trigger that just shut off the showers of blessings for them and for the others around them. And that is what it will do. You are not the only one living on this planet, and the blessings from God that you receive also affect the people in which you associate with. The atmosphere of blessings you live with or you live under does not shine over your head. If it were not for the blessings of God shining down upon the elect, the whole world would be consumed right now. You realize, like Brother Branham said, the bombs are just hanging in the hangars waiting for the elect to go home. You realize this whole nation has been blessed because of a handful of elect in this country? Maybe a few hundred? You realize that? God would not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of how many? Abraham said, if there be 40. God said, if there are 40, I won't do it. If there be 25, I won't do it. If there be 10, if there's 10, I won't do it.
There wasn't even 10, and God held it back until he could get those 3 out. Then God did it.
Strong stuff. In Deuteronomy 28, it speaks of blessings and cursings that we can expect to receive depending on our attitude towards God and His Word. And if we receive and respect God and His Word, we are blessed. But if we reject God and His Word, we're cursed. Notice Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all His commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, and if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now notice, we're told that we won't even see them coming. It says that they will come upon thee and will overtake thee. One day you just wake up and everything seems to be going your way. That's the blessings of God. Now I don't have time to read all the blessings, but just open your Bibles and do a home study. Chapter 28. And just read of all these blessings. That if you would just hearken diligently, which means that if you would just be diligent in paying attention to the Word of God, God will bless you. But the same holds true to those who will not do so. Only the same thing that you're blessed with becomes a curse to them for not hearkening. In Deuteronomy 28 and verse 15 says, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe all to do His commandments and His statutes which I command thee this day, all that these curses shall come upon thee and shall overtake thee the same way. You just wake up one day and everything's going wrong. You see, the results you get depends on the attitude you display towards God and His Word. Now remember, your attitude creates an atmosphere or an environment. Brother Branham said from God and His people, he said, your attitude towards the gift will determine your healing. From resurrection of Lazarus, he said, why, she knew if God was in Elijah, surely He was in His Son. Hallelujah. That's right. There she said, if I can only get to Him, I'll find out the reason my brother is dead. My brother died. So she pressed right on through the crowd of unbelievers. And when she got down there to where he was, now look, you've seen him closely now, and I'm looking to close just in a minute. Seemed like that she had a right to upbraid him, doesn't it? Say, okay, why didn't you come to my brother and scold him? Why didn't you come to my brother? If she would have approached in that attitude, that miracle would never have happened. It's your attitude of approach, how you approach anything. If you come like on the gift here, you've got to approach the right gift, the gift in the right way. You've got to approach God in the right way. You can't come and say, now, Lord, looky here. I've been a pretty good fellow. And get some hand-me-downs. But I'll tell you, I want to take me tonight and say, now God don't like it like that. You come God's provided way or you don't come at all. That's right. And from the wedding supper, Brother Bram said, God wants a church that He can lay His hands on. I don't care how little it is. 2 or 3 gathered in my name, I'll be there in their midst. Not just speak it. Then you say, well, we gather in His name. Speaking in the name of Jesus by word is not what He meant. So much as it is the attitude that you're gathered in. The environment of the name of Jesus. When you gather in my name, then ask what you will. It's the motive that you come in. The attitude. It's an attitude instead of so much of a calling of a name. Sinners can call the name on the street and curse it and everything else, but it's the environment that you're in. The attitude that you coming in Jesus' name. Therefore, if you come in Jesus' name, the attitude's there. You can expect. You see? Look at the Roman centurion and the attitude he displayed toward Christ. He sent his servant to come to Jesus and explained through the servant to Jesus that he wasn't worthy to come under his roof. He said, I'm not even worthy that you come under my roof. He said, I'm a sinner. He knew that he had shed blood. He was a Roman centurion. He had blood on his hands. And so he didn't feel even worthy to come into the presence of Jesus, much less Jesus come to his own home. So he said, but I do understand authority. And I know that as I say, the soldiers come and they come, and I say, go and they go. And like Brother Branham said, it was a death penalty if they didn't. He said, I understand that all you have to do is speak the word, and those demons will have to obey. You see, he had an attitude. He didn't come and say, well, I'm a great authority. And I say this, and I say that, and it happens. That's not the attitude he portrayed. He said, look, I'm a sinner. I'm not worthy that you come to my home. Now that I'm some great big man and I don't have time, so you kind of come and take care of it. No, he was humble. He knew his position in military, and he knew that Jesus had a position with the Father. And so he approached, and the approach is what did it. The approach, the attitude is what brought the result. And Jesus said, I marvel. I've never seen this among the Jews. I've never seen this in all Israel to have such faith. You see? Brother Brown said from the sermon, we would see Jesus. He said, just think. Little Santa Maria up around the lake coast would be the one that had this revival. Now, it's not only probable, but it's possible that it could happen. It depends on the attitude that we take. Now, God always sends His gifts and things into a generation, into the churches, and whatever attitude the people take, that's the results of what they get. And we know that God doesn't push Himself on anyone. You have to want Him. You know, you might get discouraged sometimes because you're just a little bitty church. Don't let that discourage you. When the devil says boo, say boo back. But it's the attitude. It's the attitude. You want more fellowship? You want friends? You've got to be friendly. That's what the Bible says. You want more fellowship? You've got to fellowship. You've got to give in order to receive. Because what you give is what you get back. You've got to have an attitude. You've got to express it through the way you talk, the way you live. You've got to be open and friendly. You see? Now, in his sermon, God and Simplicity, Brother Ransom, when a minister walks into the congregation of people that are praying in the anointing of the Spirit, you're bound to hear from heaven. That's just all of it. There's no way to keep from it. But if you walk into confusion, he says, then you're so confused, the Spirit's grieved. So the attitude we come to church in brings an atmosphere. And if everybody's under the anointing when they come in that door, you're bound to hear from God. So we see the importance of our attitude and the atmosphere that it creates. As I mentioned last night, we set an atmosphere by the attitude we express by our body language and the tone of our voice and the way that we look and the way that we posture our body. But language means something to body language means something to people. And it means something to God. It expresses our attitude. It is an expression of the true nature of our soul. From proving His Word, Brother Ram said, before we pray for the sick, we've got to get the people in the attitude. It's the attitude that always brings the results. It's the attitude that you take towards God. Here's a woman touched His garment. She was healed with a blood issue. A soldier spit in His face and put a crown of thorns on His head, and He felt no virtue. It's your approach. The attitude is what it takes. That's what it is tonight, dear friends. It takes the attitude. We are and believe that we're in the presence of Jesus Christ. But it's your attitude that brings the results. Now, what does it mean by, if you can just get started? He said, we are in the presence of Jesus Christ. If you can just get started, God will do the rest. So what does that mean? I believe what he's saying here is that you cannot produce anything. But if you do the right thing and say the right thing, it will bring results. You see, God will do it for you, because your attitude's right. After all, God is sovereign and He doesn't have to do anything for anyone. But if you go to Him with the right attitude, then ask what you will. It will be done. Look, same applies for me. You come with just a raunchy attitude and expect something, you're not going to get it. You won't get it from Patty either, will you? Right? But if you come with a sweetness, you know, you come in the right attitude. We're all pretty generous people in this church. And we give till there's nothing to give. But if somebody comes expecting, somebody comes with the wrong attitude, I'm sorry. I just turn and go away, go the other direction. It's the same with God. He's got it to give. But He don't have to give. You see? In John 15 and 15, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withereth, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Hey, just abiding. Having the right attitude. From God and His people, he said, and then, as I bring Christ to you, He will be on your hands. And you'll have to answer for what attitude you look towards it. If you turned it down, or if you accepted it. God will have you to answer for your attitude of this meeting. So you must realize that it's a very sacred thing. From God revealing Himself to His people, He said, now, these may seem strange. Everybody be real reverent, if you can get the person. Just what I was trying to do to the woman was get her in the right mental attitude. She wouldn't have to be prayed for. The right mental attitude towards any promise of God will bring it to pass. Do you believe that? The word is a seed. Is that right? That a sower sowed in the ground, and every seed will bring forth of its kind. And if you need salvation, the seed's here. If you need healing, here's the seed in the word. The word of God is a seed. Put it into your heart. Don't dig it up every morning to see if it's sprouted. Put it in there and leave it there. It's God's business to bring forth the harvest. You just leave it there, water it by faith, and praise every day. Praise God every day and thank Him for it. So, when you're applying the token, place that seed. God said, He didn't say, look, based on the condition of your kids, I'm going to grant it to you. He didn't say that. He said, based on your faith, I'll give you your kids. Right? Based on your attitude. So every day, you thank Him that He saved my kids. Thank you, Lord, that I'll spend eternity with my children in the New Jerusalem. Yes. Thank Him. Remember the blind man. He testified every day by your confession. He testified of his healing. And one day, sitting in the barber chair, it happened. From God revealing Himself to... And not only do you receive what you expect, but you will also be judged for your attitude. It is the attitude that expresses what we are, and that you will be judged for. And you will take your attitude with you, because your attitude is an expression of your character. It is an expression in your body of the nature of your inner man. And for that, we will be judged. How many remember the story where Jesus tells about Lazarus and the rich young ruler and Lazarus? And He said, Lazarus, he died, he passed away, and then the rich young ruler, he passed away. And he went to hell, Lazarus was up above, there's a gulf in between. And the rich young ruler said, hey, I need some water, I'm parched, I'm thirsty. And he said, I'm sorry, I can't cross this gulf. And so he was indignant. He said, well then, he said, go tell my brothers. And Jesus said, though a man be raised from the dead, they won't believe it. You see, the attitude that we have here is what we have over there. You know, we've all heard the story about the person that had the vision of heaven and hell. And in the vision, they saw hell. And they saw that there's a big table filled with all kinds of good food and everything else, and everybody in the room was starving to death. Because they had been given, everyone was given a utensil. They could only grab the food with this utensil, and the utensil was 3 feet long. And with a 3 foot long utensil, they couldn't put it in their mouth. So they're starving to death. And then he went to another room, and there was the same table, and it was all filled with delicious foods and everything else, and everybody was just robust and just eating to their heart's delight. And he said that he noticed the only difference was in heaven they were feeding each other. In hell, they were so self-focused they weren't going to feed anybody else. And so that's the difference. It's the attitude. Can you imagine the attitude in heaven versus the attitude in hell? What a place to be. Wonderful attitude versus hellbound attitude. You see? It's the attitude. From Jesus keeps all of his appointments, Brother Brown said, would you let Jesus set in this day? You say, if I had been back there, if I had seen him like that, I wouldn't have done that. What about it right now? Your own present attitude towards what you'd have done then. See? The attitude you take now, you feel like that you're well enough? All right. That's between you and God. I'm no judge. I'm just responsible for the word. See? He's here in the meeting. They come out of the churches too. But they're going to settle it right now. That's all of it. They're ready. Why do you want to live a halfway Christian life, a life for? Either be for God or be against God. So the world will know your colors and know where you stand. Now, how many remember the story about the Pharisee that invited Jesus to eat at his home? And yet, look at the way they treated Jesus. They did not even welcome him by the customary way of washing his feet. And yet a prostitute came in, and her actions show her attitude toward Christ was so far superior to that of the Pharisees. And notice the results she received. In Luke chapter 7, verse 30, but the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not yet baptized of him, or being not baptized of him. And the Lord said, whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? And what are they like? They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, we have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned to you, and you have not wept. For John the Baptist came neither eating or drinking wine, and you say that he hath a devil. And the Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would come and eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment. And she stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them, and with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw that, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. He owed one 500 pence and the other 50. And when he had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he gave the most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet continuously with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And I think that's part of the problem with self-righteous Christians. Is that, you know, I've got my life in order. I don't cuss. I don't steal. I don't smoke. And I don't, you know, drink. And I don't dance. And I don't go with people who do. And where there's little to forgive, there's little love. And so what happens to those people? They become starchy. They become very judgmental. And they begin to assume an attitude. And you have to be very careful about that. Don't ever forget where you came from. Don't ever forget your past. Don't ever forget you were born in sin to begin with. And but by the grace of God, there you go. There go you. You see? And so Jesus really let him have it. And he said unto her, thy sins be forgiven. Let's see. Okay. From Jesus keeps all his appointments, Brother Amstutz, and today we take the same attitude as that Pharisee, the same kind of attitude. Let him set after inviting him. Yet they don't want him. They just like it, like for manners. You know, he knows it. We've done to him today just like they did then. Instead of washing him and washing the approach away, instead of trying to stand up and saying, you're mistaken, it's the Word of God made manifest. It's what He promised. He said He'd pour out His Spirit in the last days, and we're living in the last days. Instead of that, we just kind of sit back like they did. We're afraid to take a stand. Now, another reason why we must consider the attitude that we have towards God and His Word is because our attitude identifies just what we are standing on and just where we are standing. Just in closing, from spiritual amnesia, Brother Ram said, so we find out when the spiritual amnesia gets a hold of the people, then they're in a bad condition. Now, we find the same thing. Now, you must be identified. And somewhere you must show, your life shows tonight, where you are identified. You are identified either in Christ or out of Christ. You are not halfway. There's no such a thing as a drunk sober man. There's no black white bird. You're either a saved or you're not saved. You're either a saint or a sinner, one or the other. And your spiritual attitude towards God's Word identifies you exactly where you're standing. God's Word vindicated, proved that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is just the same as it ever was on the day of Pentecost or any other time. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And your attitude towards that identifies whether you have spiritual amnesia or not. That's right. No matter whether you're a deacon or even if you're a preacher, it doesn't matter. They get it too. So we find out it's contagious, and it's the whole thing. So in closing, we just want to say that our attitude will produce a result. And it depends on the attitude we display. Our attitude does not create an atmosphere, but rather expresses the atmosphere in which we live. It is the expression of our nature, the nature of our soul, and thus it creates an atmosphere around us of who we are. So we are identified with the attitude we express. Thirdly, and thus we become judged, judged by man, judged by God, for the attitude which we express. And fourthly, thus our attitude will not only affect our own selves, but it has a great effect upon others. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you for your word, knowing that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we know that you express your attitude through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we would just pray that you would do the same through us. For we commit ourselves to thee, and we know that you said that our bodies are written. It's a written epistle. It's read of all men. And so it's our bodies. It's read of all men. It's not our words. it's not our thinking, but it's our bodies. You said we are written epistles, read of all men. And so, Father, we realize that people read us. Brother Ram said, live me a sermon. Don't talk it. Live me a sermon. And so, Father, we just commit ourselves. We ask that you would help us, Father, to live out your attitude. For let this attitude which was in Christ be in us. For we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's just sing, Take the Name of Jesus, with you.